And then our New Testament reading today comes from the book of Romans. It's chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Listen to these words, beautiful words, important words, words that we need to hear from time to time. The Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. And not only that, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through him, through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." These words today from Exodus and from Romans are by the Holy Spirit the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, friends, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts find acceptance in the sight of God, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, many, many years ago now, longer than a decade ago, my wife and I joined friends on a camping trip to Cape Lookout. No power, no air conditioning, just five people and a couple other families alongside of us who were sleeping in a tent between the beach and the dunes. We had to bring all of our own food. We brought gallons and gallons and gallons of water. Sleeping in that tent, tucked amongst the dunes, it was a three-night adventure for the five of us. And it was nearly perfect. Everything went well. We played in the water with our kids. We made sandcastles. We surf fish. I mean, we caught whiting and bluefish, and we cooked them up as soon as we caught them. It was great. We played with our friends in the tents nearby, but like I said, it was near perfect. Because on that last night, late in the night, like 0:30 late, a storm rose up out of the sea. The tent that we had slept in for the days kept the five of us dry, and I hardly noticed the storm really. I could hear the wind a little bit, but what really caught my attention was when the tent started rising up from the ground. I was scared. My wife and my young family remained asleep, sort of tired, really tired from all the beach and all the sun the previous days. And I stood in the middle of that tent as the wind battered us. I stood in the middle of the tent and I grabbed the straps that were connected to the top of the tent and I pulled on them as hard as I dare, hoping that we wouldn't be blown over. I did this, I think, for 60 to 90 minutes while the storm blew. I was so afraid. I recited the Psalms under my breath. I didn't want us to be tumbled over into the dunes, nor did I really want us to be blown into the sea. The tent would lift up on one side and I would shift my weight that way. It would lift up on the other and I would do the same, sort of like a crab moving across the bottom of the tent. I wondered that night, would I keep my family safe? Could we make it until dawn without tumbling down the beach or into the sea? Like I said, I was afraid. I was tested that night. And whenever I think of that night, I remember the test. That's the thing I think about when I think about that trip, that night trying to hold the tent on the ground. This Lent, we're talking about the humanity of Jesus, and we note that Jesus was tested. Tested in the wilderness by the accuser, the Satan. Tested by grief when his friend Lazarus died. Tested when he was confronted by thousands and thousands of hungry people. Could Jesus feed them or not? Ultimately tested in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he died, and ultimately tested upon the cross of Good Friday. You see, to be human is to be tested. That's true for you, It's true for me, it's true for Jesus, and it's true for everyone. Earlier this week, we sent out our weekly White Memorial email. And for about 10 years now, part of that email is something that we call the Sunday Snippet, where I, or the preacher of the week, gives a preview of the sermon that will be preached on Sunday morning. I hope that many of you open this and watch it most weeks. I heard from a few folks about tests this week. That's the title of the sermon today, Tests. I heard from folks about being nervous when they took tests as kids or teenagers, or I had heard stories about memories of the stress and excitement of being tested in the classroom or on the field or on the court or on the stage. I did hear from folks who said they liked tests. That was the minority opinion, by the way. Some folks right now, our kids and our teenagers primarily, are actively involved in testing. Those of us who own businesses, well, we're tested each and every week by goals, sales goals, or deadlines. Even folks that have long graduated, who perhaps are even retired, are tested now. We were all tested by COVID-19. We're all tested in 21st century America by painful debates about just about anything and everything. We are tested, all of us, by the threat of war in Europe, global forces of inflation. And individually, we are tested by illness, tested by grief, tested by the challenges that come to every family and community: good education, good health care, safe homes, safe streets, pushing back always against the threat of violence and societal mayhem. Like I said, to be human is to be tested every age, every season, and every stage. To be Christian is to believe that God stands with us while we are being tested, that God stands with us and not against us. To be faithful is to believe that enduring the testings which come in every life, well, that's part of the purpose of the act of faith itself, that we can and we will endure beyond our suffering with the love of others and the support of our communities. That God does not abandon us on our worst days, but walks through the lowest points of our lives with us, always calling us toward healing, even if we are scarred by what made us suffer or by the test we were asked to pass. Think about Exodus 17 today, our Old Testament reading. The people are tested with thirst. Makes sense, they were in the middle of a desert, but that's the crisis that they are facing. And Moses is tested. Yes, the people quarreled with him so much that that's what he named the spot, the place where I got tested, the place where I was quarreled with. Moses is that heroic one, but in this moment, he cries out to the Lord that the people are ready to string him up and end his life. Ultimately, the test that they face isn't just this one moment. Oh no, it's 40 years. 40 years of trying to find a home. 40 years of faithful wandering. 40 years of generations coming and going where they look to God to not only provide, but where they pray to God that they can thrive. Can you imagine that? It's an amazing kind of story, really. There's a reason why it's cherished. It's almost impossible in its scale. 40 years of testing. Them keeping their faith, even while they endured the setbacks along the way. Romans 5, 1 through 11, we have this beautiful selection of scripture. In many ways, it's my favorite moment in all of Romans. It is in many ways almost perfect from verse 1 to verse 11. This is what scholars call a pilgrimage of hope, these 11 verses. And you should note this. I'll repeat it again because I think it's important. Verse 1 here in chapter 5 starts with Jesus, and verse 11 ends with Jesus. And I think that wherever Jesus is, we are bracketed by grace, and we find assurance, trust, and support for any and every test we might face. Here's the way Romans sets it up. Testing, or suffering, leads to endurance. Endurance leads to the development of character, and character leads to hope. Suffering, illness, grief, loss, or fear, well, it is what it is. It's real. It's both universal and individual at the same time. Every person suffers. Not equally. Some of us have very big crosses to bear, but everyone suffers. Joy and pain are part of every life, and as it was, so shall it ever be. The genius of Romans is that it does not see suffering as the end. It's not the end. It's not a dead end. It's not something that traps us that we can never escape from. Testing in Romans, suffering in Romans, is just the beginning of a journey. It does not define the journey. Instead, it can lead to endurance, a reminder that we can survive our tests. We can. Endurance then can lead to character. We grow stronger as we are tested and we survive. And character, all that strength and wisdom we gained along the way, well, that allows us to hope again. That is not to say that some of us have not suffered more than our fair share. Like I said, some crosses are too great to bear. Some things simply must be survived. Some of us bear scars that we tremble to name. But it is to say this, that suffering does not define us. We are capable of lament, but we were not only made for lament. We feel grief, but we were not solely made for grief. We can lose much, but we can also gain much. And until our stories are complete, there remains always the possibility of reconciliation, renewal, and hope. Lent, the current season of the church, is a journey towards the cross. The way pastor and scholar Laird Stewart puts it is this. He writes, quote, hope comes before us in the cross, a sign both of the suffering of Christ and of the triumph over death that God made possible for him and for us. These two sources of hope are intertwined. It is the cross before us, like the North Star, that calls us forward through this pilgrimage from suffering into endurance and character on our way to hope. Yes, Romans 5, verses 1 through 11 is a powerful message. We should give it our full attention. At the same time, let us ask the question, is it a long arc from testing to hope, from suffering to hope? Well, yes, it is. For some, it's a very long arc. But remember, Christ is at the beginning and Christ is at the end. And that is good news. You see, in the end, it's the hard things that define Jesus' life. And very often for us, it's the hard things that frame our lives much more than the easy days. It turns out that that test that we passed to get our professional qualifications, even though it may have been very hard to study for and hard to achieve, is actually more important to us and who we are than the days we spent lazing around on the beach. It is. It really is. Right? Just think of Moses struggling in the desert. Think of Jesus on the cross of Good Friday. Will this make the pain of testing go away? Not necessarily. But the truth that testing is a continuum. There are days that will feel hopeless, and there are days that will require endurance. There will be days that build character, days when we can tangibly feel hope. We take a step forward. We take a step back. We take a step forward, but we never walk alone. It is Jesus Christ who shines in verse 1 of Romans 5 and Christ who shines in verse 11. This is a more than obvious suggestion that our lives are bracketed by the grace of Christ. And I think that's cause for hope through any suffering, endurance, or development of character that we might be required to go through. Can the testing of our lives be difficult? Well, of course they can. But we must remember, we are never alone. God is with us, even when we are tested. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we offer these things. Amen.
So I want you to imagine something with me, and that is on Wednesday night, we had worship here in the sanctuary, but it wasn't our usual Lenten worship service. We had about, I'll call it 80 children on risers here in multicolored t-shirts, and just a whole ton of adults. Carl was over there playing chimes and cymbals and all sorts of things, and they presented a children's musical called The Tale of the Three Trees, and it was just beautiful. The middle of that, though, is about a test that the disciples faced. And that's the time when they were on the boat and Jesus was, the storm came up and the boat was sinking and Jesus was asleep. And the children would say this, they'd go, ooh, I'm not going to do it, ooh, right? Wind and rain, lightning crash, and the kids would go, thunder, and everybody jumped the first time they did it because it was loud when they clapped their hands. Winds and flames and lightning and thunder, right? We're tested. And the point of that story is that tested though we may be, Christ is in the boat with us. And friends, that's always good news. That's always good news. Go out into the world in peace this day to love and serve one another and to remember that Christ, that God is always with us. Just a brief reminder that I won't be walking out because immediately following this, those of you that want to come to the meeting about worship times, we'll convene that as soon as the postlude is over. Go in peace, friends, to love and serve the Lord. Amen.